Morning, everyone. Just morning. Checking I'm working. Is that okay? Have I got great. It's great to hear these little encouragements, isn't it? This morning we've been challenged already, and I've just spent time with the Lord, just preparing. And you get challenged as an individual when you just open this book. And you are in quietness, there comes a challenge almost automatically. And I recommend that to anyone here. If you're younger, create habits, very good habits, just to have this book open. And maybe you don't always have a commentary with you, but just have it open and read it. And from it comes a challenge. And this is what we seek for those that don't yet know the Lord, that even the power of the living word can challenge them. It doesn't always need us to be so articulate in describing what's said here. There's something powerful about just reading it. It's amazing. And I really value just my quiet times with the Lord. It's often in the front room, and then Molly the cat will come in and she'll just do a little trek around my books and the Bible, and then I'll shoo, come on, you know. And then she'll sit on my lap. But you can get distractions. Molly's a good distraction, but yeah, just encourage you, read, and with the working of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can speak, and He's speaking today, and He will speak tomorrow. He's so faithful. What we tend to find hard is that we feel that we have to attain a certain level and standard for Him to speak to us. Oh, can I just say that will be unfruitful. Then we start to strive for things, and the best place to be is totally abandoned. And that is easier to say than actually to do. We're so used to being programmed, and we have messages always programmed into our minds. We're possibly thinking about the week ahead. Honestly, coming to a place of being abandoned to God, I think it's Tozer that has that book, isn't he? Is it Tozer? I think utterly abandoned to God, or maybe I'm looking at a Wordsworth here. And no, maybe it's the wrong. But what a place to be. Just be abandoned to Him. We have so many noises going around. I just want to share something this morning. I'm still in the letter to the Romans. And I described it last time as walking through treacle. And in a sense, it is. But what an amazing letter. It's probably one of the longest letters ever written in history. You can call it a book, but really to go through it, and I know you've all done it in house groups, those who've been in house groups, but it's very hard to pluck out things for just something in half an hour that you trust in the Lord might speak through. But there is so much here. And last time I stood here, I was talking a little bit about just two words, much more. And if you've got a Bible, just turn to chapter 5. And I'll just do a brief little catch-up. And it was talking about, huge amount of chapter 5 is about faith, but also grace. Okay, and I was talking about these two words about much more. Much more the grace of God. And he kept on saying it. So much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And then it says again, much more those who have received the abundance of grace. And it goes on again, grace abounded much more. And it was those two words, much more. And then I said this little phrase that was, it's a translation of the, I think it's Papua New Guinea Bible, which I know you've maybe heard it in other places, but it basically says, E be all right, M. And that was describing what justification is. E, now I could point to you here, you be all right, you. Or me, I be alright in Him. So basically saying that God has justified us and given us His righteousness. We are justified. And it's not through anything, any standard or attainment level that you've done. Can I just get in that very clearly? It was for the ungodly. And He came and He brought justification. Such a long word, but I love that meaning. E be alright in Him. And I'm just looking at you now. You know, God loves you. I don't know if you felt that message this morning. He loves you. The world does not love you. It wars against you and your soul. But God loves you. He loved us first, and he continues to love us. I think we've heard that so, in some ways, repeated so much in church, and we sing those words, that sometimes it can almost be a little bit of a, oh, that's comfortable, yeah, I know that. No, do you really know? He loves you. He really does. I wonder if you could turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you. It's a phrase that when I'm working with guys that don't know God, there's something in my life that wants to say, God loves you. And if it's not said in word, then in deed. And I know I repeat myself on this here, but they are looking at your deeds. The world cries out for love, and they're looking at our lives. If they lay down, if our lives are in tune with the Lord Jesus, then there is a love that flows. It does flow. We heard about gifts, signs and wonders. It's from a heart of love that it flows from. It really is. And the last time I spoke, it was just about this much more grace. And then just this morning, I just want to touch a little bit in chapter 6. And if you have it in your Bible, Romans chapter 6, the title of mine is Dead to Sin, Alive to God. And I just want to read a few verses with you. Is that okay? So chapter 6. So we've heard previously about the grace and so much more grace. And then it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, I love this response here. It's a clear one. Certainly not. But I know that that is an area where some come to a place of knowing that they are justified by God. And then after that, there is no regeneration after. They feel safe. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I believe when I was 14 years old, that's it. I don't do anything else. That's it. I'm in, got my ticket to heaven, all great. This goes on, it's saying, no, certainly not, you mustn't go on just relying on that grace. Okay, it goes on, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Just want to pause it there. There's a huge amount in these verses, I'll be honest with you. How you get something from that and trying to keep it that we can all sort of almost understand, and that the Lord can actually speak through an earthen vessel. Someone has limited kind of understanding himself, but you throw yourself on the Lord. But I realised that in actual fact, this old man, this kind of almost a comparison of the old man and newness of life. And I was thinking, the thing about sin is, we can look at sin and we can also actually have an accusing eye of seeing people's sin, but we don't understand that there's a characteristic of sin, and that is it leads to death. I want to just read a quote. This is from a book that I just started to read a little bit about, and it says this, and it's regarding the law as well, which is much, this is a lot of it, it's about the law. It says this, I'll try and link it, but it's the book The Better Covenant by Ron Bailey. I don't know if people have read that. I'd recommend it. I've been reading a little bit of it. It's quite interesting and very enlightening. It says, quote, the law was not designed to address individual transgressions, but to expose the nature behind those transgressions. And this has really helped me, because we have this eye set sometimes of, oh, they've sinned. Look at that, what they're doing. And I understand that, but underneath it there is a characteristic of sin that trace it back to those chapters earlier on, right back to the garden. There is a characteristic. And what the verses I've just read out is that unless you come to the place of being baptized into Lord Jesus' death, you'll still hold on to that characteristic of sin. Does that make sense? It's really helped me understand it. It's helped me understand how I live and work with folks that I so want to, I want them to know the Lord Jesus. And in some ways their whole life is, and what mine was too, was it was filled, the characteristic of my life was sin. But when the Lord Jesus, when we come and stand in that grace, do you remember last time I spoke about standing in that grace? It's in that place when we die to that life that it's miraculous. Total change. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, Romans 4. It says here, the Judaism of Christ's and Paul's day had reduced the law to a ladder of achievement. By the way, this still is around now. We still, even in churches now, there can be almost this thing of the pressure to have a ladder of achievement. In which they thought that God received them because they had attained a particular standard. Against the notion, Paul makes his most extreme objections. God, he writes in Romans 4, justifies the ungodly. There is a leveling of our lives where God comes and he justifies us. That's amazing. We can creep into the theory of having to get to a certain level before you. I know I chat to people about baptism before, and for some people it can be almost a place of hindrance because they feel like they have to get to a certain perfect level where people are looking at them and they're on some kind of massive spiritual journey and their height of spirituality is up here, and it can actually crush them. It can crush them before they even begin their journey. Paul's saying here there is a death, and that death is in the crucifying of a life and then life and resurrection in Jesus Christ. Amazing. We stand in grace, dead unto sin, alive unto God. F.B. Meyer quotes this, nothing is more hurtful than to hold a truth intellectually without giving it expression in character. I'll read that again. Nothing is more hurtful than to hold a truth intellectually without giving it expression in character. Isn't that right? Are we a church that just wants to be cerebral or spiritual? I've been thinking about how do you illustrate that, and I was thinking, I thought about the aspect of worship. And I was thinking that it says that the Lord's seeking those who worship in truth, spirit and in truth. And even through the means of instruments and worship, you can almost sense those that are worshipping through their instrument. Does that make sense? Where something is not so much, and I'm without looking at my wife here, but there is a sense in which you have to use your cerebral brain. But in actual fact, if you're a worshipper here, oh, the instrument flows, doesn't it? I remember my father-in-law was in India, went on a mission trip out there, and there were three or four guys and they were playing the drums, and he said, you know what, I know that the one who was filled with the Spirit, and that was just through the way they were playing an instrument. Now you may be thinking, oh Mark, I'm not sure about that. You may be, but I think there's something in it. Less of the cerebral, oh, more of Lord. Spirit and life. Does that mean we become airy-fairy? No. Because the spirit and the life comes into our daily living. The hard times. Grace is the source. Faith is the channel. Oh, how we need that in these days. I want to just take a little bit of a... I want to take a little diversion, and I was wondering whether to do this or not, and you're probably thinking, well, just go with it, Mark. I'm just about maybe feeling the heat in here, and it's a bit like, you know, but I was sat there last night and I was thinking, about these chapters, about there's a wrestle between legalism and license. And it's often described as the Jews, there was a legalism, a battle of being self-righteous. And then there was license for the Gentiles. They were just prone to just kind of go to their old ways, pagan ways. So there's a battle when you read through Romans. You've got to get to that in your mind when you're reading it. And then I was thinking, what illustration is there of this that Paul wanted to actually, like, he wanted to diffuse those things but bring a new liberty. So you got license, you got legalism, and then you've got in this thing of the Lord Jesus, true liberty in him. And I was thinking, oh, where is it that I can find an illustration? So I thought of an illustration, and it regards football. And you're looking like, oh, another analogy of football. But last weekend, I was on a stag weekend with Mr. Vine there, Matt Vine, and we had a game of football. And we were just getting ready to play, and one of the guys kind of almost became the referee. I don't know if that was a natural thing, but so he just said a couple laws. I'm going to say laws, okay, link with this here. But he said the law, he said, right, please, no slide tackling for this game, okay? I'm trying to look at some footballers here. But he said straight away, right, no slide tackling. So anyway, the game went on, and then a guy was coming through on the goal, and something inbuilt in here that I couldn't get rid of went and slid in and did a slide tackle. And I got a graze all down here. It's on AstroTurf, by the way. But I slid in. Now, there's something inbuilt in me that as soon as he said, this is the law, this is a rule, there was something a little bit in me like, right, forgive me, please, sorry, but I couldn't stop. I did a slide tackle. Now, in some ways, that is a picture of the law. That once you say what the laws are, it exposes either you do it or you don't. And laws, phrases that work are, laws are there to be broken. Don't you hear that? Quite a bit. And that's what the law does. It almost stirs these things up. Now, that's what he wants you to be free from. When you come into the death and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, you're free from that. The characteristic of sin goes. Will you sin again? There will be. There will be times when you slip up and there's a sin. But it's that whole natural characteristic of sin goes. And it really, it's just, in some ways, it's helped me. It's helped me understand also that those that you want to bring into the kingdom, more importantly, the Lord does. So anyway, where was I going with this? I just want to find a little illustration. Just go with me into Mark chapter 3. And this was a time when there were those that were caught in legalism that were trying to test Jesus. On numerous occasions, they were trying to test him. And this involved him healing on the Sabbath. And it says this, I just want to read this out. And I was very conscious last night, sat in there in my chair reading. And I was thinking about those that we know here who have suffered with illnesses for quite a time. And I stopped my little journey in Romans and something just stopped in my heart. And I want to link this a little bit with those that have suffered and are suffering now, physically, with illnesses. I don't need to name names, you may know some of them. And which have gone on for quite a while. And I want to read this. Chapter 3, and he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again. He'd been there before, you know. And a man was there who had a withered hand. You may know the story, you may not know it. He had a withered hand. So they watched him closely. Just that little phrase there, they watched him closely. They were wanting him to trip up. They had their eyes fixed on, how are we going to try and get this guy? Not on the fact of this man being healed. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He is the accuser, by the way. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as a whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. It's such a simple little story, and it's repeated in, as Matthew, Mark and Luke all say the same story. And I was thinking last night, interrupted, I'm thinking, oh Lord, I love the Lord's interruptions. We have to be open for them, takes you in a different direction. But I was thinking about those people that are amongst us, and I was thinking, what is a withered hand? And I was looking up the sort of the description of a withered hand. It's dried out. It's dried out. The muscles have shrunk. It's dried out. Could have been calluses. It would have looked strange. I think I put here that at the time it would have been in some ways a bit of a shocking thing, even like bad things kind of linked with having that. They would have looked upon him as a bit of a, oh man, let's not, okay? And I was thinking about what is that description. I was thinking about those places in our lives that the Lord wants to make well again. He wants us to stretch the hand out. Maybe we've had some dry times in our life. And the actual kind of interpretation of it is dried out. I'm looking around now, but I'm thinking, oh, have you had times when you felt parched and dried out? Has there been those times in your life, spiritually maybe, that have just become dry? And I was thinking this morning, I just wanted to kind of almost sort of say, oh Lord, would you come? Would you touch those amongst us? Maybe it's people that you know, that they can strengthen the hand again. Come to the place of someone's body that's dried out. Maybe hasn't seen the light for a while. Maybe hasn't had that the moisture, the water. And I just want to pray that for those amongst us. I really do. I got sidetracked last night thinking about this and how to explain justification, sanctification, regeneration, all these different things. And then something, the Lord comes along sometimes. He says, oh, just pictured the man with the withered hand. That's it. Love. Love in action. That's what he wants. Yes, he wants us to try and explain about things to make sense of the scripture, but it comes back to that love again. We heard it this morning when Marg was saying, Jesus stepped forward, got the guy to step forward. And I was thinking, who was he doing this to? Was it just the Pharisees? I don't think it was. I think it was up there too. You know, whenever you pray, you're engaging in spiritual warfare. I think it was almost a thing of, brother, you step forward. Raise your, just stretch your hand out. And as he's doing that, I was thinking about, oh, the heavenlies. It says in Ephesians, where's my little verse here? You would know it off by heart. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Just this withered hand was a thing of just obedience and love from the Father. And that's what the Lord Jesus does in our lives. He wants us to step forward. There is much more. Oh, the dry places, he wants to bring water. David says in Psalm 102, my heart is smitten like grass and withereth. Well, that's a sad one, isn't it? Isn't that a bit sad? My heart is like grass, like smitten and withereth. And I'm thinking, oh, then he then went on and talked about coming to the still, still waters. You read about David's life. He's a man that knew the withereth stages of life, but also the flowing water. Amazing. And the Lord wants to do that in our lives. It means to fade away. That is the hand that's faded away. Maybe it means a low condition of spiritual life, I've put here. Lack of moral nourishment. Well, Jesus wants to change our lives. That is an incredible thing. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, well, I've done that. I'm safe. and I'm happy and I'm waiting for my ticket to heaven. Remember last time I said about the word, the kind of interpretation for salvation is salvage, not safe. Okay, and that's really hit me home. It's about a salvage project, and I talked about the repair shop. Remember, I love the repair shop. It's just a picture of restoration. That progress, that ongoingness. And I was thinking about, and I read a little bit about regeneration. The Lord doesn't just want to justify us so we are just then sat on a shelf collecting dust. He wants to do a work of regeneration. I don't think I'd be wrong in saying recycling. But I think regeneration is the word. He wants to regenerate things in our life. This is why so many, and often you get trapped as a slave to sin. You can name the things these days that are such a trap to many. I think of the way that the wicked one works now. Straight away he will distract you. And then he'll plant things of your work. You'll feel worthless. And straight away then he has got a blank canvas to work, the devil. Jesus comes along. And he has from the start of time come and said, I am justifying the ungodly. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? And then once you're justified, he wants to regenerate with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only then that you actually have a consciousness, a true consciousness of sin, of sinning or not sinning. Underneath, before that, you're just in sin. Does that make sense? He wants to change our complete character. So for those this morning, if there is something in your heart where you want the Lord just to touch, and it can often be something physical, it can be something mental, stretch out the hand. I loved it that he did it, so all of them saw it. And the heavenlies, they saw it. The principalities, they saw it. And he just reached out his hand. What came back? Strength again. Muscles would have, I'm trying to picture it. His other hand, and he's probably then looking at that one, and he's looking at that one, and he's like, what? They're the same. There would have just been, we tend to read it and kind of gloss over and think about it. That's an amazing thing. Back into harmony again. The Lord can do that in our lives. Let's go on. Back to Romans. That was a bit of a migration. I don't think it was a diversion, but it was a migration. But I wanted just to link in that thing of there's grace and love, okay? And then there's legalism. Jesus operated out of grace and love. The trap can be is operating out of legalism. And they were trying to trap Jesus by saying, how can you heal someone on the Sabbath? That is a special day. And Jesus gave different illustrations about that. Right, back to Romans chapter 6. Just come with me. Let's just go down to, we talked a little bit about, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you have that newness of life this morning? Silence. You may be feeling tired. You're absolutely wrung out. You've had a week that is just, this is very real. But take away those layers, okay? Take away those things that we've been through this week. Underlying that is there is newness of life in Jesus Christ. There is. The cares of the world will always be with us. But when you know the calling upon your life, there is newness of life. Does that make you uncomfortable, or does it make you slightly full of joy? And I don't say that as, but doesn't it? It's what gets you through some of these tough times, is knowing that there is joy. Jesus endured so much, but he actually described it as a joy. Even to the cross. Let's just go on from newness of life. And it says this, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. The old man, That is the old man that automatically kicked into doing a sly tackle on someone playing football. Okay, was that an illustration that worked? That was my old man. I said sorry after the game. I didn't actually connect with the person, it was just it looked a little bit... sorry, it was your brother. But anyway, but that was a picture of the old man. But it gets replaced by something new. Oh Lord, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. Amazing. Amazing how we often will think back historically to sins, and it can actually be a snare and a trap. You can get lured back into... Honestly, when you come into the Lord and you're buried into his death and his resurrection, there is a severance. There is. There is a severance. It's miraculous. Powerful, wonderful. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's if you've died and you've been baptized into the Lord Jesus, there is a freedom of, you're free from sin, the characteristic of it, the nature of it. You're free from it. Will things keep popping up? Yes, they will. Will you need to be ongoingly filled with the Holy Spirit? Ongoingly? Is that? Come on, English teachers, correct me. It's fine, yeah. Great. Continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. We will. I put here, I asked myself a question. Maybe you've asked this question before. How do I get to be in Christ? Pretty simple, that one, isn't it? No, is it? How do I get to be in Christ? I've just put here. If we are assured of his acceptance and know that God, him say, I'm okay. Going back to my, yeah, justified. How do we move from justification to regeneration? Hold it, just hold with me on this. I know they're long words, okay, and they're all kind of... How do we go from justification, knowing that you're EB, all right with God, to regeneration means changing of your life, the characteristic goes of doing slide tackles and having a hot temper, swearing, okay? I've just put here, if you are thirsty, said Jesus on one occasion, come to me and drink. Oh, I think that's a remedy there, isn't it? Come to me and drink. Personal engagement with Christ himself. Have you had that today? Personal engagement with Christ. Maybe before you came here this morning. John 7:37, let him come to me and drink. He who believes concerning the Spirit. That is for me just a wonderful truth. With regeneration, there is a continued coming to the Lord Jesus. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you hunger for more? There is much more. I thirst. Oh, how I thirst. Sometimes there's a cry that goes out. In Romans 8, it talks about they cry out, Abba, Father. I was thinking about all the different cries that there are. I was thinking of a baby. There's the cry out of, I'm hungry. There's a cry out of, I want attention. That's a big one these days. There's a cry of pain, which is a tough one. It's a cry of suffering. There's a cry of just wanting to be close. And I was thinking here, hunger. There's a cry of disobedience, anger, attention, pain. And then there's a cry of worship and union with Abba, Father. The Lord wants us to thirst and want more of him. And we can cry out. Talks about in Romans 8, the cry. And this morning we can cry out to him. Are you in that place of the withered hand where things have become dry and parched? Jesus is willing and now, and he's at the well here this morning saying, come, drink. Do you want to drink more? I want to drink more. I often get challenged in my workplace, and that is often the levelling ground for whatever I've read here, and whatever you understand from this. It's not about how that comes across and you tick the boxes of a sermon. Oh, the very depth of it is that you have to relate that to people that are broken. And that is a great challenge, and it's got to be based in love. Not cerebral, but spiritual. And we need that more and more. Just a little encouragement, but I'm working with a Christian now. His name is Christian. But, and that is true, but I'm working on him. And it's just on the deeds that you do. That by name, also by nature, maybe, he could be a Christian. Oh, the Lord, stir our hearts. This morning, if you're thirsty, we've got a few minutes. I just want to challenge you, challenge myself. Oh, the Lord does use our cerebral brain. But there is something much more powerful, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to step forward like the man with the withered hand. And he wants us to stretch out. And we all have places in our lives. It can be where you've been hurt in the past. It can be something that you've held on to that's become a bit bitter. It could be something now that you're, why am I going through this? It's been an illness that's gone on for so long. It's a mystery. Often it's a mystery. Can be hurt within family. This morning the Lord said, step forward. Just reach out that hand. Should we do that this morning? Simple thing. You can do it in many different ways. I'm not doing it as a pressure or coercing you, but there's a sense in which the Lord, he delights in people that just have a heart that's soft and malleable. He takes away the hard heart. We've heard that over the years here, and it's such a truth. Takes away that stony heart and replaces it with a soft. And this morning we can do that. Should we do that? I'm thinking of those who are hurting. Maybe you have family members that you just want the Lord to come again to that dry place. Pour in his oil and wine. Pour in the water. Should we do that? I don't know if you want to. Well, maybe I'll pray, and then if you want to pray, even just in your heart, reach out that hand to the Lord. Lord. Precious Lord. Lord, you loved us first. And it's from that place that you want your love to flow out, Lord. We don't want to retain it as an intellectual property, but we want it to be poured out, Lord, to those that we see, those that we rub shoulders with, those that we meet. Maybe it's on the bus, maybe it's someone in our family that's not yet come to that place of dying and being buried with you and resurrected, Lord. Lord, I pray for, Lord, you know the names of my heart, Lord. Even in weakness, it's hard to stretch the hand out. But Lord, you're even there. You command it, Lord, to stretch the hand. And we pray that. Pray that with those amongst us that have been wearied with various things, ailments and illness. Bring a season, Lord, where the muscle comes back to the hand. Where the oil gets poured in. That balm of Gilead in the Old Testament comes and heals, Lord. Amen. Amen. Maybe let's just continue to respond to the Lord. Hallelujah.